on. Continuing on with the second section, with the third section, the second part, you know, section B, I mean, part B of section 3, the old man or the soul of Adam. After we understand the nature of the soul and how both sin and salvation come, as well as the order of how they are manifested, it is helpful to look deeper into the sin nature to see what happens both to the man who has Christ and the man who does not. John 3:18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. The soul of Adam stands condemned. It is the sin nature. The sin nature is the perverted union of body and spirit. The spirit finds itself in bondage to the flesh's desires through this union. The spirit is the union or soul. This spirit in this union or soul may not want to serve the flesh's desires, but it is a slave and must obey its master. You may not want to do sin when you're in bondage to sin, but you have to obey your master. The spirit in this union of the or soul, it may not want to serve that the flesh's desires, but it's a slave and must obey its master. It's just like a drug addict or an alcoholic. The Apostle Paul describes this slavery perfectly. Romans 7:14. For we know that the law is spiritual. And this is about a person now in their sin nature. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. That which I do I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do what I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. In other words, I agree that the law of God is good and righteous, if I'm doing what I don't want to do. Now then it is no more I who do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. And this sin that dwelleth in you is not just the act, it's the nature. It's that soul of Adam. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, that is to want to do right. But how to perform that which is good? I find not. For the good that I would do, I do not. But the evil which I would not do, that I do. Now if I do what I would not, it's no longer I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. In other words, even under the law, before you met Christ, we're not talking about after you met Christ. Before you met Christ. And that's what Paul's talking about. A person who finds himself under law. The law tells him what is good, and he agrees. The spirit in him jumps at that and says, oh, that's good. I want to do good. And then what happens? You try to do good and you fail. Because you find another law at work in you. When you want to do good, the evil's there present with you. And at that point, when you agree that the law is good, it is no longer your spirit who's sinning. But your spirit is still in bondage to sin and not forgiven for past sins, is it? Even at that point, it is no longer your spirit who's sinning. His heart isn't in it. Do you blame the slave that has to do the master's will or the master? You blame the master. It's no longer I who do it, but sin who lives in me. It's no longer me, the slave, my spirit, but it's that sin nature. I find myself in slavery to do its desires, in fact, in spite of the fact that I agree that the law is good. So I find then a law, when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, my spirit, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Get it? The spirit needs to be freed from the body and its desires. And what binds him is that sin that dwells in him, which is that sin nature. O wretched man I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Who will deliver this inward man from being in slavery to the body's desires? I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then, you know, this is the way it is under the law. With the mind, I myself serve the law of God, because I agree it's good. With my spirit, I serve that law. But in the flesh, I serve the law of sin. I have no choice but to do what my master wants me to do. The basic understanding behind the law of Moses is that it was given to Israel by God, knowing they could not keep it. What happened here in Romans chapter 7 is a truth. God gave them this law knowing they could not keep it. 1 Timothy 1:9. Knowing this, the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers. The law was designed to show us we had a sin nature, that sin nature was corrupt, and we were incapable of pleasing God ourselves, because our nature was sinful. Now, the law could not show us the nature of itself, because that nature is spiritual too. But the law could show us our nature through what we did. And by labeling our actions as transgressions of the law could show our nature through these transgressions. If our actions were sinful, that meant we were sinners by nature and corrupt. By adding the penalty of physical death to the law, God shows us this nature will end in death. The soul who sins shall die. Hence, it can be referred to as the law of sin and death. It identifies sin in us and brings it out of hiding where we can see it through what we do. Through this, we know that death is not natural, but rather, it's a consequence of sin. Romans 3:19, for we know that whatsoever the law saith, it says to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. In other words, we know what sin is because the law identified it through what we do. And we want to be free from it and agree with the law. But we find that we're in bondage to sin through the law, don't we? For when we were in the flesh, Romans 7:5, the motions of sins which were by the law did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. Your actions. But now we are delivered from the law in Christ Jesus, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in a newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. So what shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence, lust. For without the law, sin was dead. In other words, the sin nature was in you, but it was invisible. You couldn't see it. Once I was alive apart from the law. But when the commandment came, when I found out what was true by the law, when it educated me as to what sin was, when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment, which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. It was ordained to life, saying, if you don't do this, you'll live. So you tried not to do it, but you failed. So you found that commandment that was actually meant to save your life actually killed you. Because it identified sin in you, and you can't overcome sin yourself. And so you see that you agree with that the law is good, but you don't have the power to fulfill it. That's where you see your need for a Savior. And that's what happens. Your spirit has to be freed first, and that's what we're talking about. So through the law, God showed us both his standard of righteousness. For a man, how we could not measure up to that standard of ourselves. It showed us we were separated from God in our hearts, and that those born of Adam were born into this corrupt nature. Those who live according to that nature will die. Romans 5:12, whereas by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Romans 8:7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So how does Jesus' death and resurrection restore us our souls? This is where Jesus fulfills the law. The law prescribed death as the penalty for sin. Jesus came in the form of flesh from heaven, but he himself was not a sinner. He was not born of Adam, but of God. He is God by spirit, but man by flesh. As a man, he was the only man ever born of God, the only begotten Son of God. This was the joining of man to God. It is the making of a new man, and so a new soul. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. John 1:14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, the body of a man, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on the cross. Jesus coming in the form of a man was the way God had decided to redeem man to himself. It is because Jesus was both God and man that those of us who receive him can now be born of God and be his true sons after the Spirit and not just fleshly as Adam was. This is how we as men are made partakers of the divine nature. This is how we can have the Holy Spirit in us now. The new man brought us more than the old man ever had. John 1:12. But as many as received him, he gave them the power, the Holy Spirit, to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. 2 Peter 1:4. Whereby we are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. See, as partakers of this divine nature, we can now be joined to God in a way Adam never was. In this, you can see how Adam was only a figure of he who was to come. Romans 5:14. So you can see, as a man born from above, Jesus kept the law in spirit and truth. He thus fulfilled the law's prophecy of a perfect man who could please God, a man Adam could never produce. He also fulfilled the prophecy of a sacrifice that would fulfill the law's requirements. In other words, the law judged Jesus to be innocent and thus accepted his body as a sacrifice for sin. He is therefore both the perfect man described by the law and the sacrifice the law accepts as a ransom to ransom us from beneath his penalty of death. Galatians 4:4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Ephesians 2:15, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. Colossians 2:12, buried with him in baptism, where also you are risen with him through faith in the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven all of your trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, the law, which was contrary to us, and he took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Now,